Welcome to Real Career Talk. Real Career Talk. I'm your host, Phil Perquet. Real Career Talk is a monthly session brought to you by the network where we bring internal and external experts who will share critical career advice. 2022 is already in full swing, and this session is a perfect setting to share our pillars, which are all about executive presence, career management, and strategic thinking. We are honored to have with us today, Kirk McDonald, and we're going to be discussing being relevant. That's our theme. Kirk McDonald, he was voted one of the 50 leaders in technology, media, and marketing by Adweek. He also is the CEO for Group M North America, where he leads 6,500 people who are passionate about shaping the next era of media. He joined Group M from Warner Media's Xandr, where he was serving as chief business officer, where he led the charge in go-to-market functions, including sales, communications, product production, marketing. I'm gonna get it out today. And prior to that, he was president of PubMatic, a marketing automation software company. He has received a lot of accolades in his career. Ebony Magazine's Power 100, 12 stars of ad tech who are building the future of the industry. Business.
Bill, I'm about to cut you off, man. This is getting embarrassing, man.
This is beautiful, man. I got more for you. One more. Oh, Business Insider's 46 most important African Americans in technology. Kirk, welcome to the show. I'm honored to have you.
Oh, I'm honored to be here, Phil. You didn't mention in there the fact that, but you all know this, Warner Media Xandr. Xandr was birthed out of AT&T. I joined the AT&T organization, and I don't think I've gotten the blue blood out of my veins yet. I am such a fan of the organization. I have a lot of love for the leadership there. I was there with Randall, John Stankey, Jeff, just, you know, your entire team of leaders are dear to me, and I love the organization. So I couldn't been more excited when you reached out and said, "Hey, you want to talk to me?" I was like, "What? Yeah, I'm down." So happy to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's good to have you here, Kirk. When it's funny you mentioned bleeding blue. Oftentimes, if you see over my right shoulder when people talk to me, I say I bleed blue. I might be talking about the Cubs, or I might be talking about my love for AT&T as well. So that's irony that you mentioned that. So now I said a lot about you, Kirk, and that's wonderful. But do me a favor. You know, we can get that on Google. We can get that on LinkedIn and social media. Tell the network national audience something about you that you won't find out on social media and the internet.
That's a good one. Nowadays, you know, everything's out, even if you don't want it out. So I'm not prolific on social media, but, you know, I've been public for a while. So there's stuff out there. You know, I'm probably most proud just about being a husband, a dad, and a son. I do attribute a lot of where I am professionally to finding, you know, finding really good safe places in that family network and a friend network that's been very, very powerful and supportive. And diversity of that friend network has really helped me a lot, right? And you know, the interesting thing is we are capable of our greatest heights when we actually know our foundation is secure. And I've been very fortunate to feel like, you know, even growing up as a kid, and I've shared this sometime before with the AT&T folk, there is a quote that that my mother maybe put in my yearbook. It is a quote by this guy, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. So yes. Mr. Longfellow said, you know, the heights by great men, now we'd say great people reached and kept, were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward through the night. That quote is at my root and foundation. The thing that you won't see on the internet is just, you know, I'm not striving to be the smartest person in the room, but I am driven by work ethic and perseverance, and maybe that's what you wouldn't find out there.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that is found actually in your high school yearbook, I believe. Yes.
Yes. And
still with you now. So I appreciate the fact that you mentioned family. I heard you say you're married and yeah. Also you have your son also. So obviously, and the other thing, so family, work ethic, perseverance. Talk to me around about when you say perseverance, what's that look like for you?
Yeah, you know, it really is this message. And I think diverse groups, people of color, women, other categories that have been sometimes underrepresented need it, which is you need to remember that the headwinds build the muscle. If remember it's building muscle, that's an okay thing. If you just mm-hmm. think of the headwind as just resistance, you have to actually remember it caused you to be stronger. And the stronger is meant to be used. So use it to push through those winds and to push yourself forward. So, you know, books have been written on it. And whether you read books on Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods, just about the fact that they showed up and they were there earlier before practice started and they stayed later to work on their free throws or their golf swing. We understand perseverance in athletic endeavors, but I actually think that same perseverance applies to our business endeavors as well. By the way, for anyone who wants to, you know, who is a parent, you know, it actually is part of being a parent. Patience and perseverance is how you become effective at parenting and marriage. So if it works in all these other relationships, how do you bring it to work? So I've brought it to work, and there have been times where I have felt microaggression. I have felt that the environment was not conducive for me. The environment hasn't felt safe, which is why then I can rely on another foundation, another point, my family or my friend network, and know, you know what, if I'm safe there, it's going to give me the confidence in this place to actually persevere, tolerate sometimes what I need to tolerate in the moment, or stand up for what I need to stand up for in the moment and push through. So I think perseverance just a really key part of how we develop as professionals, how we develop as executives. It's just how we show up.
Sure. I thank you for that. I think perseverance is a necessity in this day and time. You have to have that mindset where you're pushing through, and you gave great examples with Michael Jordan. And there's many examples out there of our leaders who are showing perseverance through this trying time. And when you think about business, as we're going to discuss over the next few moments, talking about business and being relevant, you think about our future, you think about what's necessary, you think about the picture, the journey that we're all on. Being relevant is on the forefront of many mindsets out there, especially in your audience. So with that in mind, let's switch a little about being relevant. What are some moves that you've made in your corporate world that position you for success?
Yeah. You know, I like the theme of relevance because it reminds you that I think success comes from following your curiosity first and foremost. You see, if you follow your curiosity, you're going to end up in a field that by nature, you continue to be interested in what is happening and changing. If you stay interested, you're always aware of the relevant topics, the relevant issues that are pushing back or are the opportunities in that industry or that part of the field that you're in. So I'm talking about big fields of technology, core engineering, logistics, marketing, advertising, if that's what you care about. All of those apply to telecommunications or packaged goods. So this isn't about whether I'm in telecommunications, banking, or consumer packaged goods. This is about, I like logistics. And because of that, I'm fascinated and curious about how that industry is evolving. I'm passionate about finance and accounting principles. I am interested in marketing, or I care about sales, and I care about consumer connections. If you follow that curiosity, you're going to be fine. Now, how did I find relevance in doing that? The relevance then found me, and then I kept being studied in what was relevant to the industry. So my passion was, I was just fascinated with how consumers consumed content and how they touched it. And over time, that move from magazines and me watching 4 channels on TV to 20 channels on TV to 500 channels on TV to include the internet and mobility. How are mobile devices now the connection between consumers and the content they care about? Because I was curious about consumers and content and how they connected, I was early in digital, early in the internet. I became really interested in how mobility was going to change that. For me to understand that, I then needed to understand bandwidth, and I need to understand how these things were allowing more information to move over the connection platform between the consumer on one end, the content they cared about on the other. So, you know, I can walk you through my entire career and show you that along the way, I was just being curious, trying to keep myself relevant right to the doorstep of even showing up at AT&T. You know, a lot of people said, why AT&T? It's a telecommunications platform. It's how the world is connected. So if I get to work at such an interesting place that is actually providing access of content to consumers, why wouldn't I want to actually participate and learn more about how that's going to shape the future, right? Remember, whether it's TikTok or Snap, they don't exist if not for the pipes that actually connect the consumer to that experience. So all of those things have led me to those places. So that's how I think you stay relevant, is you've got to find the field that you're most curious about. If you're just curious about it, you just want to understand how it works. For me, that happened to be in consumers touching some form of content, news, entertainment, sports, you name it. So because of that, I had to then understand these connection platforms and how then we can actually change those relationships. And that keeps me reading what is changing in the industry. It keeps me studying consumer behaviors and practices. And, you know, you get to show up in the meeting with those conversations, not again to be the smartest person, but to actually make sure that, you know, your perspective is heard and that you're using the tools available to you then to actually enhance, you know, the field that you're in. So I think that's a core part of it, Phil.
It's interesting. Yeah. Some of the things that I've heard you say, being curious about what you want to do. I'm amazed. And I just want your thought on it. Follow your curiosity and you led into being passionate. Sometimes, most importantly, I think sometimes it finds you.
Yeah.
With that said, you have a lot of young adults that are probably going to listen to this who will say to you, well, and I want to take a step back. Well, I don't know what I'm passionate about. And we see that in college often. I haven't declared a major yet. Whoa. Yeah. How do I talk to me about what should I do if I'm in that realm? I don't know what I'm passionate about just yet.
Just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? You got to throw it all into whatever it is in the moment you're in, because that's how it'll find you, right? So I will say that I didn't find this industry. This industry did find me, Phil. You're exactly right. You nailed it. I didn't. And by the way, this is true again for people of color and or underrepresented audiences, right? So if you have not been, if you're in that group, and for us people of color, our parents and or the network we've been a part of in high school and college isn't always as exposed to all the different options, especially in business, as, you know, we eventually find out. So, I sit on a couple of boards now. One, my son's at Villanova, and I sit on their diversity board, also their marketing communications board. And one of the challenges colleges are experiencing is, how do we actually invite in and get more diversity in some of our programs? And the programs that are suffering are marketing and communications. You know, we tend to grow up knowing about accounting because we know what accountants do. It's clear. And we know what the titles are. We know about doctors because we know what doctors do and know what the titles are. You know what I mean? You get it. We know teachers. That's what we come from sometimes. We don't always know about what it means to be, a data analyst or a marketing communications coordinator, right? Or a PR event specialist, or all these other fields are sometimes unfamiliar to us, including in business areas of finance and others. We know the accountant role, but we don't know all the other financial strategists. It's not something that we go study. So how do you actually find your thing? Mm-hmm. Lean in all in on whatever you're doing. And if you're in college, go ahead. If it's junior year, declare a major. It'll find you.
Yes,
trust me. It will find you, but you can't keep leaning back saying, I'm waiting for it to find me. Why isn't it finding me? If you lean forward, I guarantee it'll slap you hard in the face. And it's going to say, hey, come here and do this because you're beginning to show strengths here. What are the courses in college that are natural for you that you simply do better in versus the ones that are challenging? And why? What is that telling you about who you should be and how you can become? And then I do think there has to be this active participation in how do I actually expose myself to something that I've never known before? How do I lean into a business group early in your career? You may not be in the role you're supposed to be in, but what have you done to join a networking organization that sits outside of your company that gives you that information? Are you going to industry events? Ask the company to sponsor you to go to industry events. And then inside the organization, trust me, there is an ability to lean into your organization that says, how do I go into T University and really now pick up on the things that I'm curious about? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't lean back and wait for it to happen to you. I think the resources are around us more than we want to admit. We just can't wait for it to happen. If you want to get there, you got to want it. And like I said, for me, maybe that's the perseverance thing shows back up, right? Which is, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have to push through and push harder. And don't worry about anybody else's journey on this. Don't hate the people who have privilege on their journey. Don't resent the fact that, you know, that somebody didn't tell you what to do. Just go do it. Right? Just go do it. And then when you do it, why don't you lift as you rise? Bring two friends along, right? Because if you're diverse, one of your friends going to be diverse too. So, you know, bring two friends along. Let's change the complexion of the future of business together.
You know what, Kirk, you just said something. Why don't you lift as you rise? I think that is so necessary in today's time. Lift as you rise. Unfortunately, we see that once I get, I hold and I don't want to share. And unfortunately, that does more damage than good. I loved also the fact that you said, along with being showing perseverance, you also have to be proactive. What did we hear from leaders? John Stankey once said, own your career. You know, in another leader in one of our Real Career Talks, he says, be your own CEO, you know, create your own executive board about what's working and what's not. I think this is so phenomenal. What some of the tidbits that you're sharing, I hope the audience is getting it. This is valuable. This is valuable, along with the fact that you bleed blue still. All right.
Still bleed blue. Tell John, I still bleed blue, man. Tell Jeff, where Angela at? Wow, come on, tell them. No, listen.
Bleed blue. All right.
And I don't hype you for any other reason than I just want to get this point in, Phil. I don't hype you for any other reason than sometimes we think the grass is greener and then you find out that all you got next door is brown grass too. Really, exploit the opportunity where you're at first, fully. That's an amazing organization. You got a lot of resources there. Don't be so ready to dismiss it because you had a tough day. The day you had might have been a day you owned and you choose not to control it. Mm-hmm. Lean into your organization. There's a lot to be had if you really lean forward. Anyway, sorry, just...
This is good. This is very good. All right, I got a couple more I want to get through here.
Hey, go for it.
Being valued and appreciated really makes us people actually feel connected, and really taps into that passion that you talked about, and the work becomes meaningful to you. So tell me about a time where you felt you were not relevant, or tell me about a time where you felt that you weren't valued or being heard, and really, how did you overcome it?
Early in my career, late in my career, two really fast stories. Early in my career, I was in a sales environment. I won't say where, but I was in a sales environment where I was the only one like me. So, you know, and we've had read books about it. The term's been out there. We suffer from imposter syndrome. So we know and are aware when we're in a room that there isn't anything else in the room similar to us. So whether it's, you know, whether it's our women colleagues who show up and they're like, wait a minute, there's only one other female in the room, right? Identified female in the room, or we show up as whatever our background is and we go, wait a minute, there's no other Latina in the room. So I showed up in an environment, there wasn't any other Latina, very few women, and definitely nobody that looked like they had been in the sun. So that was problematic. And we were at a sales conference in another place that was not, you know, necessarily receptive to that us at the time. We were actually at a very swanky hotel in Palm Springs for our sales conference. And, you know, the entire time I was there, I didn't know I was carrying this burden of feeling like I wasn't supposed to be there, despite the fact that at that day, we were going to celebrate the fact that I was the top salesperson, you know, and it didn't take much for me to actually get to a point where I broke down in tears because just I got tired of walking in the hallway and people kind of look at me like, you know, why are you looking in that store in the lobby of the hotel, or when we're in the restaurant and my colleagues were being very raucous and I realized I didn't have permission to do that. Right. But they couldn't understand why I wasn't doing it as well. And so they were goading me to kind of be boisterous. And I was, you know, I felt uncomfortable. And I realized even in that moment that I actually had been carrying a discomfort at work for a while. Now, I was fortunate at that time, because again, this is what I'm talking about, where your safe foundations. So at that time, not being a married guy, single, I literally at 3 a.m. East Coast time is midnight for me out West, you know, called and spoke to my mother and literally just found some place that I could feel safe and grounded.
Yes.
And was reminded again, go back and be your 100% self, because you're not a straight imposter to the room. You earned your right to be there. And remember, you got to actually not just occupy your space, but you got to stretch out a little bit so that the next person that comes behind you sees the room more receptive to you. But it requires that. And I'm just telling everybody, don't be ashamed of those moments. Don't actually resent those moments. Like, use them to make you stronger and persevere. You know, later in my career, I had another opportunity where I was going to get and did get a career coach, because I was being told, you know, Kirk, your tone is aggressive. You know, you sound like you're angry when you're making your points in these meetings. So, you know, we need you to coach you through this stuff. And by the way, in the middle of coaching you through this stuff, despite the fact that you've now led this organization to 2-3 years of repetitive success, we're going to minimize your scope. We're going to give you a smaller thing to do and give you this coach because we think you need to develop more executive presence. You just don't have that thing that we're talking about.
That's the thing. Yes.
Okay. And I was like, you know, at the time it was devastating. It was devastating. I saw people that I had promoted, that I'd hired out of college, now become my peers, despite there was no empirical evidence that I hadn't delivered. The structure we put in the organization was a structure they were continuing to run, but I was being given a small assignment off to the side. And it was difficult. Those were really difficult moments. Again, you know, now married man, friend network, you know, we had a friend network that was really powerful during times like that. There were other people like myself. We got together and they were like, you know, Kirk, dude, you need to just represent properly and bounce. So I took the new assignment and the impossible target, blew it out, and quit. And that's the part that wasn't resentful for me. I quit and I remained friends with everybody. And you just said it. John Stanky has said, you know, you got to own your career. That's the moment. I didn't have the language then, but that is that moment where you got to own your career. The whole organization wasn't the problem. My manager was. But at that moment, I had to leave. So I'm friends with the whole organization. I'm friends with everyone else. And just remember, even in those moments, you've got to isolate how much of this is an organizational, institutional issue versus how much of this is an untrained manager. Good news, 2020, or bad news, that same manager called me up and apologized.
Wow.
Powerful moment, because it means don't give up on anybody. It was a decade or 15 years earlier that had taken place. But called up and said, I now understand that I was being microaggressive to you. I now understand that I used language that wasn't based on facts, but was based on perception. And I now realize, looking back, that there was never a moment you were being aggressive in the room. You spoke like everyone else, but in my mind, I had an unconscious bias against you. And mm-hmm. I was brought to tears in that conversation. I'm just saying, you know, there's room for everybody. So we do have to lift as we rise. And sometimes yeah. it's even the colleagues that are the haters, that are oppressing you. But, you know, man, do what you need to do, manage your career and bounce if you need to, because the situation may not be something you can solve in that moment. Mm-hmm. But what you I wasn't going to do is tell myself something, you know?
Kirk, I hear you saying you are qualified.
Yeah.
You've been brought to that moment. You are qualified. Yeah. I think this is phenomenal. I can't tell you. What you're saying is resonating with me and reminding me. I remember the first time I had to teach in front of 400 people in Dallas at the headquarters. And my mentor was like, Phil, you've been brought to this moment. You're qualified for this. And sometimes it's about pushing through and owning that moment. I love that. What you had to say. We're coming down in about 2 minutes. Tell me, yeah. does the term jack of all trades work today?
Jack of all trades does work, but you need to be master of one or some. So don't forget that part. So we are as strong as the diversity of our backgrounds. Yes. We're at a time where different perspectives are required in every aspect of business and or even physical. Like if you're doing manual labor, diversity of experience is powerful, right? A lot of people are getting YouTube certified in everything they do. However, master some or be far expert in one, because ultimately that is the one that is going to differentiate you. Mm-hmm. If everyone's a jack of trades, you're a commodity asset. You want to be a specialist in something.
That is phenomenal. I want to share with you that I want to tell you that this has been great. If there was a final word of advice that you want to give the listeners today, I've been writing and taking notes all through this. What would it be?
I need you to condense it
like right here.
All right. So, you know what? It's Black History Month. And yes. when I started here, there was a Nelson Mandela quote that resonated for me when I joined this team. And it goes something like, there's no passion to be found in playing small or in settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. Remember this, regardless of your adversities, your challenges that you faced, use this month to reset on that. Remind yourselves of the commitment to play as big as your potential and beyond your own beginnings. If you can remember that, especially this month, to actually play as big as your potential and beyond your beginnings, that's what I'd leave you with thinking about.
What an awesome way to end our session on today. Kirk, you've been awesome. You've been powerful. I'm always saying stay powerful. You've been powerful in this moment. I believe the network audience will benefit greatly from your advice and from your wisdom and direction. I appreciate all that you've shared. Remember, audience, as he stated, lift while we rise. See you at the next session. Everyone, have a great day.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you.
Thank you.